Before we start today's programme, I want to invite you to a special online event on October the 16th. Open the Bible in a Day will take you through the entire Bible story in just 3 hours. You're going to get a better grasp of the Bible story and you'll have a greater confidence to share it with someone else. For more information and to sign up, visit us at unlockingthebible.org. Many people feel that Jesus Christ is so far away from them and they're looking for someone nearer. I'm telling you, on the basis of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ knows more about your life than his mother or any other person ever could. And when you see that, you'll want to come to him.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think as you point out, a lot of people can identify with this. They feel like Jesus is so far away because they can't see him. They can't reach out and touch him physically. And so it seems as if he's not just right there.
Yeah, but this is where the truth of the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas is so important, that God didn't merely sort of appear as a man. He actually became a man.
And why is that so important?
It's important because it means that Jesus has entered into all the realms of experience that we have. Jesus knows what it is to have friends and then to be abandoned by his friends, to be betrayed by his friends. He knows what it is to be with people who are hungry. He knows what it is to be moved to tears at a funeral.
Yeah.
God has actually entered into that experience. That's the point of the incarnation, that God actually entered into our world, entered into our life. What that means is that when I come and pray to Jesus Christ, I'm praying to someone who's not far away, but someone who's very, very near, near by experience in his own flesh, in his own life in this world.
Well, we're going to look more at this Jesus in today's broadcast. So I hope you open your Bible and join us in Romans chapter 1 as we continue the message, He Understands You. Here is Pastor Colin.
The humanity of Jesus means first that the Lord Jesus Christ had a human body. Let's just think about this for a few moments together. I've been helped in this last week, as often before, by reading Professor Donald MacLeod writing on this subject. He has a very wonderful gift for fresh language, and so I'm going to be quoting him several times today. Here's one thing he says. God's Son took a human body which had the same biochemical composition as our own, exactly the same anatomy and physiology, the same central nervous system, and the same sensitivity to pain. The enfleshing of the Son of God means that he had touchable, visible, woundable flesh just like you and me. But human nature, of course, involves more than a body. You're more than a body, aren't you? What else are you beyond a body? A body and a soul. So for Christ to take human nature meant not only that Jesus had a human body, but that Jesus had a human soul, which of course involves the mind, it involves the heart, it involves thinking and feeling and relationship. Think about the humanity of Jesus. What the scriptures tell us. Luke tells us, for example, chapter 2 and verse 52, that Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. How do you think he knew all the scriptures from the Old Testament? Listen, kids, listen up. When you learn and study, when you memorize verses in Awana, you know what? Jesus did it exactly the same way. No shortcuts for him. When you take notes, when you kneel down to pray, the Lord Jesus Christ did these things in exactly the same way. He learned like we do. He prayed like we do. He was tempted like we are. Listen, he formed friendships like we do. He had places that he liked to go, where he was able to relax more than others. The home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus was obviously one of these. When he chose his disciples, the first reason that he chose his disciples was what? That they should be with him. When children came to him, he immediately connected with them. You read some of the words that are right there in the scriptures that speak to us about the real humanity of Christ. I just wrote down a few of them because we skip over them. The Lord Jesus was troubled. John chapter 11 verse 33 and other places. He was in anguish. In anguish. Luke 22 and verse 44. He was deeply distressed. Mark chapter 14 and verse 23. He was overwhelmed with sorrow. Mark chapter 14 and verse 34. So Jesus had a human body. The Lord Jesus had a human soul. The Lord Jesus Christ knows more about your life experience than your best friend or your counselor or any pastor ever could. The Lord Jesus Christ knows more about your experience of life than his mother Mary ever could. Think about this. Why is it that Mary has assumed such importance in large parts of the church throughout the centuries? I'll tell you. Because many people feel that Jesus Christ is so far away from them and they're looking for someone nearer. I'm telling you, on the basis of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ knows more about your life than his mother or any other person ever could. And when you see that, you'll want to come to him. That's how important the humanity of Jesus is. That's what we were learning from Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 15. So I want to make this third point. Jesus had a human body. Jesus had a human soul. And I now want to make the point that Jesus knows human life. And boy, we could go on for the rest of our time here, and I promise that I won't. I just made a list of experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then I pruned it down to 10 that I thought might be helpful for us. And I'll race through them very quickly here. Number one, have you ever been exhausted? Hands up, everyone who's ever been exhausted. Okay, you know that experience of life? Jesus has been there. He fell asleep in a boat. That's exhaustion. I mean, on a lake. You ever done that? Ever been that tired? When the demands on you are so great, you can come to him because he knows what that's like. When you feel you need some space just to get alone because everything's round you, the Son of God knows what that's like. All these crowds, and he had to come apart and rest for a while. Two, do you have loved ones who are deeply resistant to Christ? Do you think the Son of God knows about that? He certainly does. Jesus has been there. His own brothers thought that he was out of his mind. The Gospels say so. Third, do you work or live in an ungodly environment? You're surrounded by people who are blasphemous in their language, ungodly in their behavior. Does it get to you? Jesus has been there. MacLeod says he came into first century Nazareth. He lived where he could see human sin, hear human swearing and blasphemy, see human diseases and observe human mortality, poverty, and squalor. He's been there. He's been there. Knows it. Four, do you live with tension due to disloyalty on your own team? Unfaithfulness on the part of someone you care about deeply? Jesus has been there. Judas was one of the 12, but he was not with Jesus. Not with Jesus. MacLeod says, Christ knows the full horror of human infidelity and treachery. So you face that, you could come to the Son of God and you could say, you know about this more than any other person I know. Fifth, have you felt moved by the plight of people living without hope in the world? Jesus has been there. You think he cares? He sees sheep, people like sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says he had compassion on them. His heart went out to them. It's your Jesus. Or on the other side, number six, have you ever felt angry about injustice and abuse in the world? Anyone on that? You bet. Does Jesus know about that? Yeah, I think the Lord Jesus Christ, when you feel angry about injustice and abuse in the world, you know, I think the Son of God can say to you, me too. Me too. You say, where do you get that from? Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ went into the temple? And there was just one area in the temple at that time that God himself had designated as a place of prayer for Gentiles. And you know what some greedy people had done? They had turned it into a marketplace with almost no possibility of prayer. And Jesus made that whip of cords when he went in there and he drove out the money changers. If you think the Son of God does not care, is not inflamed with passion over the injustice and abuse of this world, you've not come to know the Christ of the Bible.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called He Understands You. And we're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. If you joined us late, if you have to leave early, or you want to go back and listen to this broadcast again, or any other broadcast in the series that you may have missed, you can always do that at our website. Come to unlockingthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download the MP3 for free. Again, that's at unlockingthebible.org. If you did join us late, we are in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Number 7. Do you grieve the loss of someone you love? Ever been there? You there now? Oh, Jesus has been there. The Gospels tell us about a day when Jesus received news that one of his closest friends had died. He went to visit, and when he saw the man's sister, Mary, weeping, the Bible says when he saw her tears, Jesus was so deeply moved that he broke down in tears himself. And people said, you can see how much he loved Lazarus. So when your heart is breaking and you're feeling the desolation of loss of someone you love, you can come into the presence of Jesus and you can say, Jesus, you know what I'm feeling right now. It's the humanity of Christ. Number 8, have you ever felt that the future was so dark you could hardly bear to think about it? Maybe there is someone here and that's exactly where you are today, and that's why God wants you here today. You feel that the future for you is so dark you hardly bear to think about it. Listen, the Son of God has been there. When he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he was overwhelmed with sorrow. And did he want to die? Did he want to die at the age of 33? And he says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours. Be done. The future looks to you like a dark hole. You can come to the Son of God and you can say, Lord Jesus, you were in Gethsemane. You know. And he understands you in a way that no one else can touch. Number 9, have you suffered unjustly at the hands of others? Read the story of Holy Week. That's all I need to say about that, isn't it? Read the story of Holy Week. Read it this week. And see if you do not think the Son of God knows something about this. And number 10, have you ever felt utterly without hope, without help, without comfort, and without God? And I tell you, Jesus has been there. He was nailed to a cross. He was loaded with the guilt of the world imputed to him. The land itself was plunged into darkness. And at the moment when he needed it most, the one moment in his earthly life where more than any other he needed a sense of the peace and the presence and the blessing and the help and the comfort and the strength of God. In the moment when he needed it most, the sense of love and peace and blessing and approval of the Father that he had enjoyed all through his life was gone. And he cries out, the Bible says, in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? MacLeod says, needing God as no man ever needed God, he cried, and God was not there. Friend, I don't know your pain, but Christ does. And your pain never goes beyond his pain. Your darkness never goes beyond his darkness. Do not ever say that God does not understand. Folks, are you beginning to see why the humanity of Jesus is so important? This is huge. When you see the humanity of Jesus, it won't be long before you find yourself saying, you know, this Jesus may have something for me after all. He knows my life. He knows me. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. Now, when you understand that, the writer to the Hebrews says, well, now let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, in these last moments, will you notice with me, when we've grasped the humanity of Christ and we begin to see, oh, now this is someone I can come to, and we do draw near to him, in all of our need, and in all of our pain, and in all of our difficulties, what is it that we look to receive from him? The book of Hebrews puts it this way. It says that we may receive mercy, and that we may receive grace to help us. Mercy and help. Help and mercy. Coming from the Son of God, who took human flesh, who knows your life more than any other person you can ever meet, is now ascended at the right hand of the Father, and you can come to him. And you see, that's why when Paul's writing here about the humanity of the Lord Jesus, he just ends it by saying that according to his human nature, the Lord Jesus Christ was descended from David. Let me just say two things about this, and then we're going to be through. So, of course, being descended from David is part of Palm Sunday, isn't it? Remember when the crowds came in on Palm Sunday? You know what were they saying? Hosanna to the Son of David. And you remember the New Testament begins with saying that Jesus is descended from David. It's in the very first verse of Matthew's Gospel at the beginning of the New Testament. And I just want to capture this for you in these last moments. That Jesus being the Son of David, thinking about David, helps us to get a handle on why the Son of God took our human nature. We've seen how wonderful it is that he has it, but why did he take this human nature? I mean, was it just so that he could empathize with us? No, it's more than that. You ask any person what they know about David, and if they know anything at all about the Bible, I'm confident that they'll pick out two stories. One will be Goliath, and the other will be David and Bathsheba. That's what everybody knows, isn't it? One where he's a champion, one where he's a failure. You remember Goliath? Is there anyone who can come and face me, the enemy of God's people says? And no one in the armies of God was ready to stand. And then David comes to the battlefield. And he comes forward as the champion of the people of God. and he slays Goliath. And because he slays Goliath, all of God's people enter into the joy of his victory. That's why Jesus took our humanity. By taking our humanity, he was in the position where he could step forward as our champion. And that's what he was doing on the cross. As our champion, he was defeating our great enemies of sin and death and hell. But you remember the other story about David. Reminds us that the man was a great failure. Here's this man who sees a woman and she's married, and he wants her, and he puts her husband, who is loyal to him, right in the front of the field of battle so that the man is slain on the field of conflict, and David takes his wife. Thinks he can cover it up as a secret. And of course it's exposed. And what happens after that? There's all this conflict within the family and all the tragedy that flows from this sin. Which leaves you saying, however much a champion David was on the field with Goliath one day, the man was also a man with his own mess. And a man with his own mess can't clear up the mess of others. And so we need David's greater son. We need someone who can do more than win one victory and then die and go off the human scene. More than someone who can be a champion one day and a dreadful failure the next. And so the Son of God comes not only to be our champion, but the Son of God comes to deal with our failures. And when he goes to the cross in his human flesh, the Son of God, the man Christ Jesus, bore our sins, the Bible says, in his body on the tree. That's why he became a man, so that he could step forward as our champion, so that he could be the sin bearer of our punishment. He came to stand with us, and he came to act for us. One of the fathers of the church put it this way: the Son of God became Son of Man so that the sons of men may become the sons of God. And so he offers himself to you as the Savior, as the Redeemer, and as the Lord.
What a powerful look today at the person of Jesus and how he offers himself to us as our Savior, our Champion, and our Redeemer. You're listening to a message entitled, He Understands You. Really a look at the person of Jesus, how he is fully God and how he is fully man. And because of that, he does understand us unlike any other. And as we'll see in our next broadcast, because of this, he also changed death for us. Hope you make it a point to tune in for that. Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported program. If you're a regular listener, you know that. But we want to give you a thank you gift as you support the ministry this month. We want to say thank you by giving you a copy of a classic book. It's written by J.I. Packer. It's called Knowing God. And Colin, why is Knowing God a must-read book?
Well, Steve, I think you already said it. It is a classic book. J.I. Packer's Knowing God has helped people for many, many years. But I got to speak about it personally. This is one of the books that has really been life-shaping for me. I go back to it again and again because it takes us through the very heart of who God is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he writes in such a beautifully concise, profound, insightful, wise, uplifting way. This is not a book, by the way, to try and read, you know, sort of 25 pages at a time. I just read 3 or 4 pages because it's so rich. It's like eating a marvelously rich steak. But it's, oh, this builds muscle in Christian faith. Knowing God is at the very heart of faith. As you come to know who God is, your faith in him is going to grow. So I'm just thrilled to be able to put a book that has been life-shaping for me and for many others into the hands of those who listen to Unlocking the Bible. If you're not read Knowing God by J.I. Packer, you've got to have and you've got to read this book.
Well, we would love to send you a copy of the book as you give a gift of any amount this month. You can find out more, give online at unlockingthebible.org or call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 1-866-865-6253. Or again, our website is unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Some say that Jesus was a great teacher. Others consider him an inspired model. Find out why these evaluations of Jesus fall short. That's on the next Unlocking the Bible.